And if you would, open with me now to our sermon text, which comes today once again from the first book of the Psalms. That would be Psalms 1 to 41. And we are really on the home stretch here. We've got about 3 weeks left in this sermon series. We land this morning in Psalm 40, verses 1 to 8. Psalm 40, verses 1 to 8. So hear now the word of the Lord. I waited patiently for the Lord to help me. And he turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the pit of despair, out of the mud and the mire. He set my feet on solid ground and steadied me as I walked along. He has given me a new song to sing, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see what he has done and be amazed. They will put their trust in the Lord. Oh, the joys of those who trust the Lord, who have no confidence in the proud or in those who worship idols. Oh, Lord my God, you have performed many wonders for us. Your plans for us are too numerous to list. You have no equal. If I tried to recite all your wonderful deeds, I would never come to the end of them. You take no delight in sacrifices or offerings. Now that you have made me listen, I finally understand you don't require burnt offerings or sin offerings. Then I said, look, I have come. As is written about me in the scriptures, I take joy in doing your will, my God, for your instructions are written on my heart. And let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come before you this morning here in these 8 verses, and as we are winding our way down through this sermon series in book 1 of the Psalms, Lord, we pray that you would meet with us. Even as verse 8 speaks of here, that you would write your word, your will on our hearts. Lord, make us these type of people. Make us ones who embrace all of your will and your word in our hearts and lives. Father, we know your word breathes life, and we pray this morning you would breathe it afresh, anew, into all of our hearts present today. Lord, we pray that you would give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to understand your word. All in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, as we start into our sermon this morning, I think there's a few questions to think about that really sets the posture that we ought to have as we enter Psalm 40. So let me ask, have you ever been in a season of total despair in your life? Have you ever felt at a time in your life that you may never smile again? Have you ever struggled, even when you try, to gain eternal perspective because of the intense difficulties of your present circumstances? Well, I can say with complete confidence that everyone in this room has probably been in a place like this to at least some degree. Right? It's true that we all have different levels of trials and struggles in our life. Not everyone has the same level of difficulty in this world. But the experience of despair, the experience of depression, we may even say, or of darkness in our souls, the dark nights of the soul, are not really so much about how hard our trial is relative to everyone else in the world, but how hard our trial is relative to what we have previously experienced. Right? For instance, the despair that a toddler who has had a passy for 2 or 3 years feels when that passy gets taken away is every bit as real as the despair an adult feels who has their best friend taken away, right? And I, of course, bring that up this morning because where we left off 2 weeks ago at the end of Psalm 39, this is where David was. He was in a truly despairing place, a place that he thought he might never smile again, a place where he was unable to fully gain that eternal perspective because of the intense difficulties surrounding him in the present season of life. Right? When you are in a place like that, Psalm 39 is a great place to go because that's where David is at the end of Psalm 39. Hence the reason that David begged the Lord to hear his words of prayer and to feel the angst, right? The emotion with which David prayed those words. And David asked the Lord to see the tears that streamed down his face that accompanied that angst and emotional prayer request. In short, what is David's solution to the dark night of the soul? What is David's go-to place when he is struggling with despair and with depression? What is David's only hope when he reaches the realization that he might never smile again? Well, it is to take his troubles to the Lord in prayer. And not just a rote prayer, but a full-bodied prayer with the angst and emotion and tears that accompany the actual words that he's lifting up to the Lord. And so what we will see this morning in Psalm 40, verses 1 to 8, is what eventually comes to David after he has patiently cried out to the Lord in this way for a season. So as we begin our sermon this morning, I want everyone in here to remember this, right? What we see in the verses that we're going to read and study today is the absolute certainty of what awaits anyone who brings their despair and their depression and the dark nights of their soul to the Lord for a prolonged time. This is what the Lord promises. So two main points. Point number one, those who trust in the Lord will always have a new song to sing. Those who trust in the Lord will always have a new song to sing. And point number two, a new heart is what sings these new songs. A new heart is what sings these new songs. So point number one this morning, those who trust in the Lord will always have a new song to sing. And we see this in verses 1 to 5. So two things I want us to notice here. First, notice the Lord's response to David's despairing prayer. All right, verses 1 and 2. I waited patiently for the Lord to help me, and he turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the pit of despair, out of the mud and the mire. He set my feet on solid ground and steadied me as I walked along. Now, Psalm 39 ended. David had resolved himself to a place of patient waiting on the Lord. All right? Patient waiting on the Lord to relieve him from his despair. And in this, David had finally fully embraced the wisdom of Psalm 37, which was to wait patiently for the Lord. It is a grace from the Lord that David has entered a place of patient waiting, and it's a wonderful reminder to us all that when we enter times of darkness and despair, that we are called to wait patiently for the Lord. It is true that the Lord never delays in drawing near to us to walk with us in those places of darkness and despair, right? And we can bank on him walking right beside us through every difficult trial that comes upon us in this life. But patient waiting for the Lord is to be content with God being close to us in those seasons and our times of deepest despair when we feel like that dark night of the soul may last forever. And as Psalm 40 opens up, we see that David had been patiently waiting for the Lord. Patiently waiting with the Lord, had been content for David or for the Lord to sit with him in that time of despair, in the mud, in the mire of life. But as is always the case, there is a day and time when that darkness and despair is brought to a close. Praise the Lord. And that is what David highlights in verse 2. Mark Furtado says, in Psalm 38, David was extremely ill because he was under the discipline of the Lord as a result of his sin. And then in Psalm 39, David reveals more of his internal struggles in that situation. And he resolves to hope in the Lord and ask for his cry to be heard. Finally, in Psalm 40, 1 to 10, It is a song of thanksgiving in response to God's granting help. To say it another way, we do not know how much time has passed between Psalms 39 and Psalm 40. To be sure, David was already back on the way of the wise at the end of Psalm 39 because he was patiently waiting for the Lord and was content to allow the Lord to sit with him in that time of despair. But now at the beginning of Psalm 40, the Lord has finally lifted David out of that season, out of that time of despair. He pulls him out of the mud and mire and places his feet back on the solid ground for a new steady walk with the Lord. So do not miss the fact that as soon as David prayed, the Lord turned to him and heard his cry. The Lord sat with David in the mud and the mire for a time. And the same is always true for us when we put our hope in him in a season of despair. But do not miss this fact, because this is what Psalm 40 is bringing out. The Lord never leaves his children in a place of despair forever. When you are in that place, know that the Lord does not leave you there. He always lifts us out of the mud and the mire in his timing to set us back on solid ground once we have learned to be content in his presence alone. And man, when that day comes, we've got a season of praise to proclaim, which leads us to our second thing to notice this morning. Second, notice that the Lord finally gives David a new song to sing. Verses 3 to 5. He has given me a new song to sing, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see what he has done and be amazed. They will put their trust in the Lord. Oh, the joys of those who trust the Lord, who have no confidence in the proud or in those who worship idols. Oh, Lord my God, you have performed many wonders for us. Your plans for us are too numerous to list. You have no equal. If I tried to recite all your wonderful deeds, I would never come to the end of them. So when we struggle through seasons of darkness and despair, we fall into the same place that David was at the end of Psalm 39. And we've all been there to some degree. And we begin to think we're never going to smile again, right? Or to say it another way, we begin to think that walking through this life in darkness and despair is the only song we will ever sing again. Right? Have you ever felt that way? In a difficult, dark, despairing season that you have thought, man, this is just my life. The only refrain, the only song that is going to accompany me all my days is this despairing song. At any point in time, there are many people within our church who are going to be in a place like that, right? But I want everyone in the church to remember this, Psalm 40, verse 3. Because when we are in those places, we have to remember the promise of this verse. For those who trust in the Lord, that refrain of despair and darkness will not last forever. The Lord is always moving us to sing new songs. Songs where we give praise to the Lord for the amazing things that he freshly does in our lives. Musically, I want y'all to think of someone you really love listening to, right? For me, as I have enjoyed country music for a long time, it's Miranda Lambert. She's one of my favorites. And I hear on the radio every now and then, a new album from Miranda Lambert's coming out in 2 months, or, you know, dropping in November. And I get excited, right? You know, you look forward to her new album, or I look forward to her new album. You look forward to whoever's album you may enjoy listening to. But there's a sense, as you look forward to that new album from a band you love, that you know, man, there's a whole new set of emotions and feelings and seasons of life that I will get to experience anew in a fresh way with new songs and new words that accompany that, right? There's excitement in the musical world around new albums dropping. The same is true with the Lord, y'all, only on an infinitely more amazing level, right? There will be no lack of trials and struggles in this world, and we know that. But for those who trust in the Lord, hear me say, there will be no lack of new songs that the Lord will place in your heart that will allow you to experience redemption and hope and salvation and praise in new and fresh ways as you walk through your life in this world. It may be that seasons of despair and darkness will accompany us for a while, and that we may think we may never smile again, but for those who trust in the Lord, nothing could be further from the truth. Never forget that the Lord is constantly at work every day in putting these new songs of hope and praise and redemption in His children all throughout the world. We need to be reminded of this over and over again, that it is the Lord who's making a habit of bringing us out of despair, out of mud and mire, to sing these new, fresh songs of praise. And verse 3, whenever one of God's children experiences salvation in these new and fresh ways, the whole community of faith gets to stand in amazement of what God has done in their life. Hence the outburst from David's heart in verses 4 and 5, right? To finally say, right? These are not words that perhaps David could have said in Psalms 38 and 39, but now that a new song is in his heart, a new salvation has been revealed, he can see the eternal perspective again in a fresh way. He can see the totality of what God has done for his people and for him and say, there is no lack of amazing things that you have truly done. Brothers and sisters, when you are in the pit of despair, stuck in the mud and mire of a season of darkness, do not lose sight that the words David proclaims in verses 4 and 5 will absolutely once again be the words bursting forth from your heart one day in the future. Right? You may not know how. You may not see how those could be your words again. But hear me say, they will be. They absolutely will be. Do not let seasons of despair and darkness ever make you hopeless, right? Because for those who trust in the Lord, there will always be a new song for you to sing in the very near future. There will be a new album of God's gracious redemption ready to be released into your heart in the not so distant future. Yes, you may have to sit and wait patiently for the Lord's timing to drop this new album into your heart. And in the meantime, you may have to live vicariously through the wondrous things He's doing in the hearts of those around you in this community of faith. But the Lord will not forget you. And it will be your turn one day soon to shout loud the praises of a brand new song soon enough, which the entire community of faith will rejoice to see on the day that gracious album plays afresh in your life once again. Do not ever let a season of darkness or despair lead you to become hopeless, because for those who trust in the Lord, there will always be a new song to sing. Which leads us to our second point this morning. Point number 2, it is a new heart that sings these songs. And we see this in verses 6 to 8. So just one thing to notice here. Notice the inward change that takes place for this new song to be released. You take no delight in sacrifices or offerings. Now that you have made me listen, I finally understand. You don't require burnt offerings or sin offerings. Then I said, look, I have come, as is written of me in the scriptures. I take joy in doing your will, my God, for your instructions are written on my heart. Now again, this is where this whole trajectory of Psalms 37 to 40 reaches a crescendo. David had experienced the discipline of the Lord on account of his foolishness in Psalm 38. And then he continued in the discipline of the Lord on account of him trying to do it all in his own strength in Psalm 39. But David has finally learned exactly now what it is the Lord desires. It is not an outward conformity to his rules. It is not a rote practice of religion or sacrifice. No, what the Lord desires most of all is an inward transformation. Right? An inward transformation that takes a humble posture before the Lord and asks God, write your law on my heart. Right? It's not to get a set of rules followed. It is an inward transformation that asks God to write His will and His law on our hearts. To say this another way, seasons of discipline and despair and darkness and struggles come upon us in this life, and they lead us to one major conclusion, that the Lord does not desire ceremonies of faith. He does not spend time counting the number of our Hail Marys or counting up all the hours of the good deeds that we do in this life to try to earn some good standing with God. That was the mistake David made in Psalm 39. Now, the Lord is after something much more freeing, that we yield ourselves completely to Him and allow Him to do with us as He wishes. Right? This humble posture of someone who gives themselves totally to the Lord is so beautiful. And it's only that humble posture that actually can sing these new songs of salvation, right? And that's such an important point to think about. Dr. Dick Belcher says it succinctly but wonderfully. He says, verses 6 to 8 stress the importance of an inner willingness to God's will. An inner willingness to God's will. So let me ask this morning, why does it seem for all of us, I'm sure, that we sometimes get stuck in our Christian walk without any joy or praise exuding from our souls? Why does it seem sometimes that we become stagnant in our growth in Christ? Or we begin to feel apathetic even to the joy of the salvation that we know is awaiting us in the new heavens and the new earth? Why does it feel like we don't have a fresh experience of God's grace in our hearts like we used to have, or maybe like those around us have? Well, if these verses are any indication, it can sometimes be because we have become too fixed on trying to keep God's law in a harsh and burdensome way, and we do so in order to free ourselves from the difficult circumstances in our life. Right? We think life is hard. What am I doing wrong? I need to do this in a better way so that God will take away these difficulties in life. Right? That is the trajectory of Psalms 38 to 39, right? And then here into Psalm 40. But what God is after is the inward transformation that accepts His will in our life that often includes suffering and trials. The very things that we certainly wish to be free from. And even for David, he struggled with this. That's the beauty of seeing Psalm 40 in light of Psalms 37 to 39. And so for us, the same thing for David is true. Once we've read Psalm 37 and we desire to see the wisdom of that psalm be characteristic of our life, we get a wonderful heart. Then we get to see all the foolish sins in our life that keep us from it, right? As Psalm 38 demonstrated. And then we also get to see the harsh, burdensome ways we're trying to do things on our own that Psalm 39 highlighted. And once we repent of both types of those sins, to accept the will of God no matter what and simply desire His presence with us throughout life, that presence will often be in our seasons of despair, of Him just sitting with us in the mud and the mire for a time. But know that He will not leave us there. And that also includes His presence in lifting us out of the pit of despair and making us walk steadily in the joy of a new song once again. What a truth that these psalms have brought us in these last 2 months. Right? What does it look like to walk in the presence of Christ every day? Don't we ask that question in light of these psalms? What does it look like to delight in Him alone? What does it look like to keep our eyes fixed on the future instead of the present? Well, it's to confess and put off all of our foolish sins that keep us from doing that. It is to confess and give up all of our burdensome efforts to do things in our own strength. And it is to finally humble ourselves to find contentment in God's will for our life right now. That He is present with us in whatever season He has placed us, knowing that He will lead us to a new song of salvation once again. That is the promise of the gospel. The promise of His presence with us now, and the promise of a hope for where he's leading us in the future that will most certainly come. And do you know who else knew the importance of seeing all this in these four Psalms together? The author of Hebrews, which is where I want us to finish our sermon these last few minutes. Many times I give commentary on what we see in different sermon texts from other commentators, but at times we get scriptural authors giving us a commentary on a passage. And that's what we get in Hebrews with Psalm 37, 38, 39, and now 40. So, man, this would be a whole set of sermons if I was going to preach all these verses, but I just want to read an overview of what we see from the author of Hebrews in light of this. So if you won't, turn with me to Hebrews 10. I'm going to read verses 1 to 25 and then have just a couple comments and we'll close. But circle this and take some time this afternoon maybe reading through these verses in Hebrews. So Hebrews 10 verses 1 to 25. The old system under the law of Moses was only a shadow, a dim preview of the good things to come, not the good things themselves. The sacrifices under that system were repeated again and again, year after year, but they were never able to provide perfect cleansing for those who came to worship. If they could have provided perfect cleansing, the sacrifices would have stopped, for the worshipers would have been purified once and for all, and their feelings of guilt would have disappeared. But instead, those sacrifices actually reminded them of their sins year after year. For it's not possible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. And that is why when Christ came into the world, he said to God, and now the author of Hebrews quotes Psalm 40, all right, with a minor statement he makes. You did, and so this is Christ saying this to God. You did not want animal sacrifices or sin offerings, but you have given me a body to offer. You were not pleased with burnt offerings or other offerings for sin. Then I said, look, I have come to do your will, O God, as it is written about me in the scriptures. So hear what the author of Hebrews says here about that. First, Christ said, you did not want animal sacrifices or sin offerings or burnt offerings or other offerings for sin, nor were you pleased with them, though they are required by the law of Moses. Then he said, look, I have come to do your will. He cancels the first covenant in order to put the second into effect. For God's will was for us to be made holy by the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. Under the old covenant, the priest stands and ministers before the altar day after day, offering the same sacrifices again and again, which can never take away sins. But our high priest offered himself to God as a single sacrifice for sins, good for all time. Then he sat down in the place of honor at God's right hand. There he waits until his enemies are humbled and made a footstool under his feet. For by that one offering he forever made perfect those who are being made holy. And the Holy Spirit also testifies that this is so. And then, see, the author of Hebrews takes what we learned in Psalms 37 to 40 and applies it to Jeremiah hundreds of years later. This is the new covenant I will make with my people on that day, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts, and I will write them on their minds. Then he says, I will never again remember their sins and lawless deeds. And when sins have been forgiven, there is no need to offer any more sacrifices. And then how about the author of Hebrews for an application this morning, verses 19 to 25. And so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. By his death, Jesus opened a new and life-giving way through the curtain into the most holy place. And since we have a great high priest who rules over God's house, let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting him, right? Isn't that what Psalm 40, the crescendo was right there? For our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean, and our bodies have been washed with pure water. Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works, and let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. Y'all, that would be a whole set of sermons to see if we were just in Hebrews. But notice how Psalms 37 to 40 open that passage up in such a wonderful way. Brothers and sisters, the trajectory of Psalms 37 and 40 point us to one defining moment. It is the moment when Jesus Christ comes into the world, lives the perfectly righteous and wise life that Psalm 37 laid out, takes upon himself all of the foolishness of our sins that Psalm 38 highlighted, frees us from having to earn our own way after that back to God, as Psalm 39 highlighted, and now brings an end to the old covenant in favor of the new, which Psalm 40 makes abundantly clear. Hundreds of years before Jeremiah prophesies about the new covenant and writing God's law on our hearts, David is writing of it as the first book of the Psalms comes to an end. And in doing so, David is already resting in the yet-to-be-done work of Christ, his Savior. Right? Even on that side of the cross, he's resting in the work of Christ to be saved. And therefore, the laws of God are written on David's heart, and he can truly rejoice and find comfort in embracing God. Life. You see, each of us has many new songs of salvation that our new hearts will sing in new and fresh ways. And even on the other side of death, we will never cease from singing new songs. Don't think that heaven will be boring. We will have new songs of salvation to sing there too. But every one of those songs has one central refrain from year to year, from person to person. And that central refrain is the name of our great high priest and sacrifice, Jesus Christ. So this morning, may you repent of and cease from running any foolish, rebellious ways you may be on today. And may you repent of and cease from all the burdens of trying to earn favor with God in your own strength today. And may you simply rest and trust in the now finished work of Jesus Christ, who brings you a new heart written with the law of God by the work of the Holy Spirit because of our high priest going before us as the ultimate sacrifice. And now with that new heart, we are primed to sing new songs of salvation again. Look forward expectantly for your next new song that will absolutely come one day soon. And sisters, never forget, there will be a day when you are finally lifted from all of the mud and mire of a world stained by sin, to have your feet placed on the ultimate solid ground, never again to slip or stumble anymore. It will be the day the Lord brings you home, where eternity will never be boring or hopeless, because fresh new songs of praise will constantly be released in your heart every single day. So persevere a little while longer, Christian. Lean on one another in this church as you encourage each other to endure seasons of despair and darkness which will come on us all. Rejoice with one another when we see each other singing new songs of salvation which will also come for us all. And know that what was true for Christ will be true for you, that your heart will be pure one day soon, which is absolutely the will of God for you in your life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your amazing word to us. And even now, as we have freshly seen in Hebrews 10, all that Psalms 37 to 40 we're leading us up to, there's the sense that we need to go back to Psalm 37 and see it all again. But Lord, what a reminder that that is a song of salvation on repeat that you are calling us to sing. Lord, I pray today that you would make your presence known in every person's heart in our church. Lord, if it's sitting with them in a season of difficult despair right now, may it be so. Just do not let them get to a place of hopelessness. May they know that there will be a new song in their heart soon. And Lord, for those with new songs in their hearts, may they not be silent with it. May they burst forth with your praise that the community may be built up in it. And most of all, Lord, I pray that you would make sure to take home every one of us, all of our children included, to be with you one day where we are freed ultimately from all the mud and mire of a fallen world. We look forward with that hope today as one people and pray it in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen.